تاچاهی به بندانه. اینا با هشان هشان چه با هشان چه هشان هستی چه هشان چه دینا ایرگی هشان
Turtle Island lived free. They loved, they cared, they had happiness. We know what it is to live off the earth, the land, the trees, the four-legged. We know about them things. We have a value system there.
We have an understanding why the grass grows, why the sun comes up.
We came out of the earth, we go back to the earth. We're brown like the earth.
We were strong Lakotas. Today we're losing all of that.
This cultural genocide started way back in the late 1800s.
We're still facing that type of genocidal behavior in all forms.
See, we went through colonization. Now we're still being assimilated.
White America is still playing cowboys and Indians with the indigenous people on Turtle Island.
Nowadays, I think we lived in hell.
They took everything we have.
It's like the white people race will never be happy until those backward Indians are gone.
They want to see all the Indians die.
Keep the people poor. keep them fighting each other, keep them using drugs and alcohol to get over the despair. Keep them down. Genocide.
We want to be free and left alone.
As a nation, we have a right to independence and freedom. Who will stand up to the United States to help us?
We need help on this reservation.
We need help.
We need help. Oh, please help us.
If we give up, then we're giving up on a creator. And no, I don't give up on a creator.
Welcome to VOP Freedom Radio's First Nation's Freedom. First Nation speaks tonight. And I'd like to introduce a guest that you heard on the documentary intro. And of course, you can find out more information as we go along. The Strong Heart Lakota Solidarity Project. Just type that in Google. And it's supporting sovereignty and human rights for grassroots Lakota people, and for all nations. And you can find out more at contentenza.wordpress.com. That's C-A-N-T-E-T-E-N-Z-A. And without further ado, I'm honored to bring on tonight a very important guest, Kanupa Gluha Mani. Au kalua. Hello, my friend.
How you doing? It's great to have me on this evening's radio show. I'm very honored to be here. Thank you. Okay.
Yes, I know. We're honored as well, as you know. And, of course, this venue is for you. I want the Lakota people to speak. You know, you are on a mission. You've been on a mission long before I was born. And, you know, our struggle is from another nation as well. And I ask you to feel free, brother. All right? So, you had what's very important is the message to Tracy Tuilua, Director of Office of Tribal Justice in the U.S. Department of Justice, in which you received a letter from him verifying that he would be there by the summer or mid-2012. Now I'm going to give the floor to you, brother.
Yes, approximately a year ago. First off, to the listening audience, this is Kanupa Gluha Mani with the Strong Heart Warrior Society, better known as the Chantetiza Okola Kiche. It's a dog soldier society that was originated in our sacred Black Hills in the state of South Dakota in the Grand Teton Mountains. This evening, I wanted to really express a real heavy heart against this message that Tracy Tulu had written on a piece of paper. Back in 2011, myself, Kanupa Gluha Mani, my little sister, Naomi Archer, and my girlfriend, Delphine Charging, of the Northern Arapaho tribe of the Wind River Indian Reservation in Wyoming, went to Washington, D.C. during the time when the Tar Sands Movement staged a protest and a rally at the nation's capital and in front of the White House. I see the majority of our people get arrested on that type of behavior on the compound in Washington, D.C., on the parking lot in front of the White House. Without further delay, during that arrival on September 1st, 2011, the three of us met with Tracy Tulu in his office in a conference room in regards to the current situation and the circumstances that are still going on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in the state of South Dakota. And so Tracy Tulu admitted on September 1st, 2011, that he would meet with my said elders in the poor communities. This was the second statement that anybody in the Justice Department ever administered
right
at the sake of their own discrepancy of words through their own physical presence as a being. I can't call them a human being because the human being would honor that word of mouth, or even if it was illustrated on black and white.
That's
so
right.
Mr. Tracy Tallulah's physical being did not live up to that type of pronunciation that he written in black and white on a legal piece of paper in the presence of myself, my girlfriend Delphine Charging, and my little sister Naomi Archer.
Right. Who I'd like to, right now, Kanupa, I'd like to bring Naomi on, and your nephew, Leo. Let me bring Naomi. She's on now.
Hey.
And Leo.
Hey, Yipa, everybody. This is Naomi Archer. It's very nice to be here tonight. Thank you very much, Hank.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. This is Leo, Strong Heart Warrior Society. Really appreciate you allowing me to be here. Thank you.
We're honored. Kanupa, you have the floor.
Yes. Without further delay, I would like Naomi to kind of contemplate on that little issue that I just mentioned. Little sis, it has to do with that written statement by Mr. Tracy Tallulah back in 2011 on September 1st, during the time when this Tar Sands organization was taking their initiative protest to hold, you know, the American government accountable for this, you know, this Tar Sands pipeline, when we had that meeting. And at the discretion of Tracy Tallulah, it was his understanding that he would meet with our elders by that following year if our elders chose to agree otherwise. So without any further delay, little sis, if you can give an update on that too, I'd appreciate it. And that summary will justify more to what I'll be transpiring here as soon as she gets done. And also I would like to have Leo contemplate on that same issue because he understood exactly the conditions our elders were involved during that time and that same year in 2011 when I got arrested and released from the tribal court. Okay, without many delay, little sis, go ahead.
Thank you, big brother. So what Chinook is saying is right on. And now our trip to see Tracy Tallulah was continuing a bit of correspondence that we were having with members of the Justice Department. The first was Leslie Hagan. She had made the first promise to Chinupa Guhamani that she would come out to Pine Ridge and visit with the elders. And I just want people to really be clear about what we're saying.
Right.
Now,
word of honor you're talking about, and this is Washington, D.C., another nation talking to another nation.
That's exactly right. And not only that,
right.
But you have to understand that these grandmas, these traditional elders, many of them, English is not their first language. They are primarily Lakota speakers. Have been historically, from the very first treaties that were signed between the United States and the Lakota Nation, they ostracized the matriarchal leaders, which are the grandmas, in favor of the male leaders and in favor of male votes and with chiefs that they appointed so that they would sign the treaties that they wanted. So
right.
That history of ostracizing these grandmas has lasted for 130 years now. And so it's been very rare that a member of the United States government would come out to meet with the traditional elders, the traditional grandmas. Instead,
right.
They'll use their puppet government, which is the Oglala Sioux tribe government, to sort of curry coat things. And so to get that kind of promise in writing from Leslie Hagan and then from Tracy Tallulah, to sit down with him and look him in his eye and tell him the stories and explain to him just how important it was that someone come out and hear these elders, hear their stories. Here's the ways that they've been fighting to survive in the face of overwhelming colonization, just to be treated with respect. To be able to sit down with him in Washington, D.C., in his office was an important moment. But as my brother has articulated, he hasn't lived up to his promise. And, you know, it's often talked about the trail of broken treaties. Well, here we have the trail of broken promises. And this time it's with the Lakota Nation and the U.S. Justice Department.
Leo?
My first-hand experience on March 4th, when we first took over the Meals for the Elderly building, you know, this building has been condemned, I believe, 4 to 5 times since the 60s or 70s. And, you know, just the dysfunctionalities of the tribe, you know, like my sister said, the puppets of the American government system, you know, the community representatives, I believe it was Virgil Bush and who else was it? I can't remember his name. But anyways, these representatives, you know, they gave us their promise, their word, that they would demolish the building and rebuild a new one. And my uncle, I believe it was probably about a week and a half to 2 weeks ago, we came across an Associated Press media release in the local newspaper that $100,000 is being appropriated to remodel the building. And that's extremely insulting, you know, to all of us, especially the elders, because, you know, they've been neglected for how many years now, you know, throughout history. And, you know, and taking into consideration the health and the safety of the elders, because when we went in there, you know, the sanitation conditions of that building was just really disgusting. Inside of the closet where you keep the custodial equipment and supplies, you know, there was meat that was being stored unrefrigerated, and it was green and smelled. Everything was gross. And we even had the president, Tom Poirbear, come, and he only showed up once, and they gave us their word that they would listen to the adherence of the elders and stuff and to their grievances, and they didn't. And, you know, we're still fighting this battle to be able to get, you know, a lot of awareness out there that, you know, there's the federal government isn't arbitrating the tribal government, and the tribal government isn't even adhering to the needs of the people. Per se, the elders, and it's very gross and disgusting, because, you know, there's a lot of depth to, you know, our elders. You know, it's very deep. You know, our elders are, you know, the grandmothers are the life givers. You know, they carry the history, you know, in our oral traditions, and, you know, I mean, we respect our elders, you know, and just the conditions and everything like that. It's elderly abuse. And people responsible are still aren't, you know, justice still hasn't been administered to them. And, you know, it's very, there's a strong cloud of nihilism, you know, around this government, cultural this IRA government.
Cultural genocide, Leo.
Yeah,
it's cultural. You're waiting to die away. Yes. How do you feel in your heart, brother, as a young Lakota? How do you feel?
I feel really angry, you know, to be honest, because, you know, I mean, me of my generation, I see my generation, a lot of generation fading away, you know, and I'm still trying to hold on to, you know, what cultural integrity I have left, you know, like, you know, and I'm still learning, you know, and I'm putting forth that effort, and I just, you know, I really feel a lot of empathy, you know, Wa'unshua, you know, compassion towards our elders and stuff, because they have to, you know, they're going to leave this earth. I don't want them to leave this earth feeling neglected, you know, and that's heartbreaking, you know?
Yes.
I had my great grandma 4 years ago, you know, and it's, you know, our elders are they're leaving, you know, our elders are, they're going to pass on to the next world, and we aren't even paying attention, you know, and we need to really let the whole world, you know about, you know, our struggles, you know, as indigenous people all over the world, indigenous Europeans, indigenous everybody, all over the world. We're all once indigenous, you know,
that's right.
And respecting and understanding to surviving indigenous people to this day, you know, we're really losing a lot of valuable, I would just say, systems of honor.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. If I could remind you of something, Leo, that you're responsible for now, and that is what a lot of the Celts believe. You know, when you go out and hunt coyote, it's innate in their nature to mass produce. You go out and hunt the wolf, it's innate in their nature to mass produce. Breed them out, Leo. Breed as much as possible.
Yeah.
With that, well, we're going to go to a slight break here, and we'll be right back with Chanupa. Here we are on VOP Freedom Radio's First Nations Freedom. And Kanupa, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Before we left, I gave you a new name, Chanupa. And
Chanupa.
I'm on. Yeah, it sounds nice, right? Kanupa Luau Mani. And you have the floor, brother.
You know, just a few minutes ago, listening to my other said, fellow activists and warrior friends that are part of Strongheart, you know, I'll read something that really is very informational on the part of Mr. Tracy Tulu from the Intertribal Justice Department in Washington, D.C. This is his own written signature.
Yeah.
It reads, "I will meet with the elders as soon as I am able. Likely this will be in the first half of 2012. I will give you 30 days notice before I come out, unless you agree otherwise." Tracy Tulu, September 1st, 2011. Now, the reason when we went to Washington, D.C., was to meet with the Justice Department officials. We also wanted to meet with the heads of the BIA and, you know, numerous other entities that pertain to the rights of said reservations conditions. We also met with the ACLU. We also met with the Civil Rights Division.
And nothing was ever brought to adherence. And adherence is the type of understanding where if you make an informal request, they are obligated to fulfill it. That's right. What your oath of office is when you take on a responsibility or when the elected officials elect you to sit in that position. It's called a fiduciary responsibility. And if you don't know what the word responsibility as a fiduciary member, then look the word up. Because it says right out there in the dictionary, a fiduciary responsibility means that you must act on it, okay? But that doesn't happen in the United States' form of government when you bring this type of attention before them. And as I said earlier on the show, this understanding escalated clear back in 2011 when the elders called upon Strongheart to help them take control of their Meals for the Elderly program on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in the district of Porcupine. And numerous understandings came about playing into that escalation when we seized control of that facility. Remember, that program is a whole different entity rather than having the influence under an illegal form of outlaw government known as the Oglala Sioux Tribal Government, under that discretion of the Indian Reorganization Act of 1934. Yeah. So, needless to say, we have made this initiative ongoing for the sake of our elders. And I mean the sake of our elders, because without them, my elders don't have a future if nobody stands and takes that responsibility to allow them to be heard. And once again, folks, in America, this has nothing to do with Strongheart. It has everything to do with our elders. But our elders have been deluded from their presence. They have been deluded from their appearance. And most of all, they have been deluded from their virtuosity when they can give you an open sentiment of truth. And nobody wants to listen to that because you have the definition of your elders, and then you also have the definition of your old people. That's the way America deems elders. You know, right. In indigenous culture, we're not that way. Everybody has a right to be involved in a Teochpa'e concept. In modern terms, it's called extended family upbringing. Mm-hmm. And so everybody in that family plays a role in safeguarding our children, clear up to our elders. But that's not what's happening on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation because the corrupted officials that are elected in these positions keep and continuously silencing the voice of our elders. And that's how you make a long story short.
No, that's very well said. I noticed that I was doing some looking around and I found Idol No More and, of course, the Native America Calling radio. There's a movement now basically to protect your culture and heritage and the fact that you're not being listened to by Washington. And a lot of folks are kept so busy fighting for their rights here as Americans even that they're unable to pay attention. Now, you feel you need to protect your culture. It's desperate now. It's becoming more and more desperate, isn't it?
Well, let me kind of, you know, exonerate a real truthful issue about all this. America is still under occupation, okay? Every time you see that piece of shit and flag blowing in every city, county, town, these sons of bitches are still under occupation. Now, if I use that term and that language out of context, I take full responsibility with that. But that's the way I speak. I am very, very disregarded and being very, very out of context because this American government does not give adherence to my said people. Now, America needs to quit lying. They have done this throughout the history, throughout their arrival in 1492. And when I look upon all these devastated effects that they have used through their, you know, heinous and racial, you know, atrocities by inflicting that type of, you know, bipolar disorder amongst my people that wants me to live free on our own continent known as Turtle Island, you will see and read that the American people and the citizens have not learned a thing about their oral history. My history is born and bred in my own country. I am from here. I was born here, and I will die here.
Mm-hmm.
And this type of understanding has to be greatly exonerated to the American public so they can see that oppressed people, we're tired of being tired.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the way we know how to give back to the society that really wants freedom. When I speak on that notation of using that type of metamorphosis to bring change and that type of accountability, I want all four colors of man to have that ability to remain free, to be justifiable in making their decisions to keep freedom within themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what's not being, you know, accepted at the mercy of the federal government, because the federal government has always administered and it has always administered federal Indian policies. These policies are what you call colonial policies that Great Britain has always administered. And that little paraphrase in the context of Great Britain's written, you know, establishment, it says, I will enforce Great Britain's policies to make the world England. What does that mean? In the contextual pretext, it means to occupy and start administering more of a corporation's intent to control civilization. Do you get it? American people, this is what's happening. That's and your rights are being swept right out underneath your feet, and you have no clue to reconnect with your heart to the word freedom. This is the most hateful and heinous crime that America can ever inflict on a genocidal pretext by administering ethnic cleansing.
I knew it.
Never.
If I could... let me include this, Kanupa. I knew that was happening as soon as I happened to go to prison myself. And as soon as I got out, all of a sudden, I was no longer Irish. I was white. And African-Americans were black. And there's just black and white people. There's no other nationalities, no other races. And, of course, I'm aware in the Irish struggle of the danger of cultural genocide. So I knew this was going to happen.
You know, First Nations people have always been assimilated and been redressed with an identity crisis. I would prefer to be known as the free and independent Lakota Nation by giving adherence to our own. The Lakota Nation is what justifies me. And that's the way I stand. That's why my name is Chanupa Gluha Money. I unilaterally withdrew from this country in 2007. Legally, I've been recognized by the country of Italy, the country of Ireland, and the country of Venezuela, and the country of Bolivia, and now the country of Ecuador.
Cool.
The reason why I mention these nations, because Evo Morales was the only Native person to ever be elected as an indigenous person to his own country.
Right.
And the second in command from another nation was President Hugo Chavez from Venezuela. Now, people have a different understanding about Hugo, but Hugo had given me recognition and understood my plight to continue my work to serve my people on a free and independent structure and a form of a nation rather than a government. The independent Lakota Nation is the key to what administers real matriarchal sovereignty. And a majority of our people will never, ever grasp on that type of involvement, because once you administer that change, you have to experience the times when America has incarcerated you as a human being, rather than as a racial being. America has two definitions. A human being that believes in freedom will always be incarcerated. A racial being will be accused of any type of foreign discrepancy that does not apply to the law. There is no law. And then when you, just as you expressed your little indication about when you got released, now you're considered a white man.
Yeah.
You're known as the white race. In America, that doesn't justify its own intent of being free. You know, when you look at the Declaration of Independence, for the people and by the people and so forth, okay?
Yeah.
Well, America has never, ever lived up to that productive standard. Now, anything in the history of the American empire, you will see that even their educational system fails humanity.
That's right.
How does it fail humanity?
Yeah.
Well, if you take the children and you remove them from any said healthy family, that's teaching them their basic education. Their basic education is their principles of language.
I totally
agree.
And
when you remove them,
yes,
you turn these children into monsters or zombies because they have no clue of reconnecting with a family value system. Right or wrong, America, that's right.
That is right. That is right. That is absolutely right. And, you know, they look at people like us that say that. That's why I got to play the homeschooling game. My daughter has already been taught about aspects of the government, the dangers that police can cause in your life. You know, she's been taught quite a lot, not ABCs. That's her mother can teach her that. You know, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
So anyway, in our conquest, in our quest for freedom, we have took this responsibility as far as the White House, as far as, you know, America, you need to understand that your nation's capital and your nation's big city known as Washington, D.C., is a replica of Rome. You guys, and I mean you guys, you Americans are repeating a falsified history. You're trying to destroy and control the globe. It ain't going to happen. Rome fell, just like America is going to fall. But it's going to take a series of catalysts to wake themselves up and bring people out of dormancy. That's the only way the people can have real freedom. When governments play a role into administering power and litigation and laws, first and foremost, when you have people in small capacities that are trying to reach out, just like the indigenous people, we have the lowest life expectancy in our own reservations here in Turtle Island. And in the Western Hemisphere, from South Dakota, North Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, and Nebraska, Native people have lost their God-given matriarchal rights to be free because of how the American justice system dehumanized the identity of our own character. And Hank, you just administered one truthful entity when you got released. They labeled you as a white man.
That's
what
right.
Does that tell you, America?
Oh, that drove
me
nuts.
I'm an indigenous person. Yeah. I'm a Lakota person. I speak my language.
Yeah.
I'm not a white man. The white man has nothing I want. What I do want him to understand, and I want him to live by, I want him to leave me and my people alone. I'm sick and tired of him sending my people to prison. We have the highest incarceration rate in the state of South Dakota because of this so-called ethnic cleansing system that the state is administering. But I will say this to the American public and the listening audience. The indigenous people in the Western Hemisphere are going to hold the American government accountable. We will file a genocidal complaint at the United Nations level and at the nation capital level. I am tired of being subjugated to this type of colonial abuse. We shouldn't have to beg for what is rightfully ours. We shouldn't have to go through any type of chain of command through paper just to be identified as a free being.
Yeah.
Our identity has been here since the arrival of the American people in 1492. We've taught you everything. We've gave you everything. And most of all, we fed you. And this is the treatment you do to us. But not only do you do this to the indigenous people, you do it to other nations. And then you teach them the same type of falsified reality that doesn't belong to them. You can label any other color of man, and when you get them to fill out any type of communist form for assistance, they will recognize themselves as an American person.
That's right.
That's right, America. That's what you do. But when it comes to indigenous people, we are the last of the least that continuously try to give you an understanding that all we want to do is be free and left alone. The Great Spirit had gave us one way of living, and it's called a matriarchal system. And with that understanding that you have been afflicting upon, you have to be accountable. The nation of the Lakota people in the Western Hemisphere will do that. We will be the first nation to ever challenge the federal government on a genocidal complaint for all the illegal and heinous atrocities that he had inflicted on us since he arrived in 1492. Okay.
Beautiful. That's right. And we'll be right back with Canupa. And you mentioned matriarchal system. And that begins with the earth, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the earth and the dangers of the earth. Be right back.
You. 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 You.
Sacrificed the land in which you come from and which you die into as humus lumus, etc. Could you speak on that aspect, please?
You know, as I kind of step up into that, I would like for my brother, Angry Little Bear, Naniskidi Makuts, to give you an insight about this understanding about Mother Earth and how we are so richly connected to her and how we would fight and die to protect her. This is my brother of the Strongheart Warrior Society. Once again, Angry Little Bear. His native name is Naniskidi Makuts. And here's Earl to give you an understanding of the matriarchal system. Okay.
Good evening. How are you?
Okay, brother.
I'm so happy that I'm able to be here and to share with the listeners.
We want to hear your voice, brother.
Years ago, in the 1800s, in the late 1800s, the elders were the ones responsible for teaching us our tradition, teaching us our heritage, the respect for all life, for all things that are here on Turtle Island. It was all given to us by the great mystery, our Creator. Slowly but surely, the white man who believed he had won the war here started to take us away, started taking our children, sending them off to schools. These children, their hair was cut. They were punished if they spoke their language. They were punished if they prayed in their tongues, if they prayed to their Creator. And that was still going on into the 1900s. In 1979, the United States government signed into law the Freedom of Religion Act. It's still not being followed. As you, when I was in prison, when I first got there, whenever there was pipe ceremony or a sweat, we were able to leave our cells and go and pray and be with our brothers.
Mm-hmm. We fought for that, yes.
Yeah. All of a sudden, that's taken away. For the last 6 months of my stay in the penitentiary, I had to sign up a sheet to go to pipe ceremony or the sweat lodge. But the other religions didn't have to. Whenever it was time for them to go to their service, they would just go. But we, as a Native people, had to sign a slip of paper asking permission to go. So that Freedom of Religion Act is still not being upheld in the state penitentiaries. This is one of my biggest pet peeves of this government. They sign bills after bill after bill into laws and never enforce them.
They have no honor.
They try to take our belief system away. And a lot of it they have, because even the elders of today still say they're afraid to teach. They're afraid to talk about our beliefs, our heritage, because they're afraid of being reprimanded or something taken away. That's what happens to our elders. They live in fear. A fear if they do teach or they do try to do something, something is going to be taken away and they don't have anything more to give. When is this government going to start doing something about this? They signed that bill in 79, and still it's being abused.
And your representation in government is also dishonorable. It's the only way this could be.
That's right. We're told over and over again they're going to do something, and they never do. As a member of Strongheart, that's what we are trying to accomplish, is simply getting our rights and freedoms back. We've never gave those up. When we signed those treaties, we didn't give our religious freedoms up. We didn't give our way of life up. And we still want to practice them.
That's right. And now Red Cry, can you speak on Red Cry, the documentary on genocide of the indigenous people in America?
Yes. Is Naomi listening there?
Yes, Naomi's here. I'll bring her on. Naomi, you there?
I'm here. Naomi, I'd like to give you an opportunity to give an update on Red Cry, and I'll also, you know, I'll cover you from a conclusion of that after you're done. So without any further delay, go right ahead.
Okay. You know, before I jump into Red Cry, I'm gonna build a bridge to that by first addressing Hank, your question about the sort of the mechanization, industrialization of this continent.
Yes.
And how it's affected indigenous peoples. And I think as a white-skinned person who was adopted into this warrior society, I have a different perspective, and I'd like to share that with your listeners, because I imagine we have many listeners who are not indigenous to this continent.
That's right.
Now, you know, the indigenous life way is built upon its relationship with nature, its interdependent nature. And so when the white man came and industrialization came, there was this mechanization, this sort of linear way of viewing the world. And why could that even happen? And the reason that it happened is because we, as indigenous peoples from Europe, had forgotten our own connected nature with our place. And so when we came here, we perpetuated the same kinds of destruction that we had unleashed on our continent and our peoples, and we brought that disassociation and that misery and that pain, and we inflicted it upon the people here. So now we get to 2013, and this documentary called Red Cry. Red Cry has come about because there are white people on this continent who are no longer willing to feel that disassociation, that are no longer willing to live in a way that is going to be destructive to other people. And so this is how the Lakota Solidarity Project formed, and we found some brave people to come out, give up their time, they weren't getting paid, to come out and give these elders and give these people a chance to speak to themselves about their way of life, about the resistance to this ongoing colonization, which again has happened because we as white people have forgotten our own indigenous nature from our own place. And so this documentary, you know, we feel like it's going to, well, we hope it's going to shake the earth, that people finally have a chance to hear the Lakota speak in their own way about the issues that are important to them, so that people can no longer say, well, I didn't know, because we all know there's a collective amnesia in this continent about its indigenous peoples. People like to believe that they never existed or that they're gone. This documentary is meant to remove all that. The Native people are not gone. The Lakota are not gone. They're still resisting the genocide of their people. And this documentary is going to tell their story.
Where can people go to find more about it, Naomi?
The best place is right now is the website chuntetiza.wordpress.com, and Chuntetiza is spelled C-A-N-T-E-T-E-N-Z-A. That's C-A-N-T-E-T-E-N-Z-A. So chuntetiza.wordpress.com. You can go and visit the project. We're looking for people to join us. This is not a closed project. We're encouraging people to learn new ways of being in solidarity with the indigenous people of this continent, that we can no longer, that we can stop being colonizing settlers on this land, and instead we can learn a new kind of solidarity. That's what it's all about.
Right. You also have a Facebook page too, right?
That's right. The Facebook page is Strong Heart Lakota Solidarity Project. You can find us there. And as we move forward, the documentary is just one part of a very exciting 2013. My brother's already mentioned another, and that is our official complaint to the United Nations and to Washington, D.C. We're also launching an international campaign to increase awareness so that, again, people can say that they didn't know. We have to erase that amnesia. We have to create a new way of being in solidarity with the struggles of the Lakota and other indigenous people.
So you, Naomi, you and your sisters and your brothers, you feel that 2013 is the year to make the big move, just like I feel. That's the year to fight for civil and constitutional rights. It's do or die. I mean, that's how I feel, and that's a sense from nature that I feel this. You feel the same?
You know, I've been working with my brother now for over 8 years, and, you know, the struggle of the Lakota has been ongoing for decades, you know, ever since the white man came onto their land. So this is just one piece of that struggle. And, you know, I'm just honored that I have a chance to be here for this moment. We've been struggling, my brother and I and Strongheart have been struggling to protect these elders for a long time. My piece of it has just been a small part. But we really hope that this documentary and this campaign, this complaint will really shake the government down, because we just can't keep going on with this collective amnesia that somehow this is all gone and we don't have to think about it anymore. So, my brother is definitely a better one to answer that question, because he's been in this struggle for decades now, and I'm sort of a Jill come lately to that struggle.
Hey. Kanupa, you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Yeah, Naomi pretty much covered it and explained for the listeners to understand how deep this is, how long this has been going on, how there was never any treaty. This is all a massive plan, evidently, for cultural genocide. And it is vitally important now that your elders are heard, not just by government. I'm a firm believer that the greatest form of system, family, of a government, is the family system. I think that's where the reality is. So the public is the government, and the public needs to hear this more and more and more. Well, what do you say to that?
Well, first of all, I'll answer it in the best of my capability, but I'm going to answer it first in Lakota.
Yes.
So here it is. Mitakiepi, ake apetu kile chante washte wahiu takina ha mila haska kawichoe ke he iwa aglake. Hoyunka taku hena makoche ankata onkitropi wakampi kilena echa etu onke he. Hena echa taku chimpi ke he hena echus e kusha etu onpi. Hoyunka mila haska kilena echa hoyate mitroki ektu jona ha eta ha. Tak shicha hena unkit khopshniki, mina haska iapina upakh papi. Chankel ake, Mila Huska Ta O Kansola Wanji Wahina Jina Hanwaglake. Kokata Kia Oyateglena Yushkapi Kile Echa Kusha Eto Anke He Oyate Mitoki Hitches is Hindi. Ash Mila Huska Ta Oapi Kena Yushi Chapi Ashna. You talk Chap Naku. Neta Mila Huska Ta. We try a kehena home ash, hilcha, or at a mithoki, Nazur ogna, Wonakum, Nataku hena, Mila Huska, how we try Ikla kena, and not the Ichubo kitchen. Hilcha lamp to kilechse, home at high. Now petto on zit hokataka, walk up in the hut, or at the glena osikapi. Now walk pani chappi, now walk pani chappi, hena echa. You won't go back up. And I said, I will have one. Not to her walk up, because now, which only I used to hunt. I care, or at the Mitroki, Kakisha, Umpicte. The Mission Hedgehammo. To her, which only when she walk up, when she ate the hunter, you won't mark she. The Mission Techia Mombalaki. Not Techia Kile, slow act. A honey Mila Huska, Mitrai Chuki, and I shall mark hippie. No, I can't have me talking, Nako. No, she'll got me talking, Isha. Hey, Isha, expel her. Hella, Isha, Atta. Macasso, Donna, Heta, Suta, Lichus, Pitala, Wahina, Gina. Mila Huska, how we toy ogna. You walk like. No, like Hota, Kile, Echa. Echach, my own, how I acted, Leno, Sprema, Kim, Echela, Bruha. Do any hair, Hitchus, Nachma, Echukishni. Namapa, Paul Kitchney. Hell shall news launch Chantilgana. Like Hoti Apikilewaka. Not to any hell. Like Hota Chimpike. Suta let you say, Ois Babo Kip. Na etaha, Tarchi, na Chanteni Taki. Hey, you hunked in a Tima youth in a etaha. Walla Kota Kile, Ikichakate. A honey hitches a Lakota Oyatik, Iwoglaka. You know, in my language, I wanted the Chow people in the listening audience to understand one unhealthy, truthful opportunity to a comment on the issues of treaties. Oftentimes when people in the public, especially the officials, they are always asking about treaties and Indian rights, but they always duck the question with one word. Sovereignty, okay? However, the way I deem it, they are using this excuse in a phony misinterpretation about administering a federal policy to have the government take that excuse entirely to represent federal Indian policies. That's the operation. That's what entrenches Indian people.
Right.
We need to fresh in our own understandings with our mind concept in a language form of basis, when I said in my language, to approach our people in indigenous country, more of the ability of our people if they could start believing in themselves
right.
And start believing that everything is free when you step out into the university of freedom. It's outside. It's called Mother Earth. The natural born life giver throughout humanity, even the four-legged. Mother Earth is crying out to us, her children, to tell us to wake up and start protecting the matriarchal system.
That's right.
Indigenous folks, get that in your heart. You listening audience, get that in your heart and stand together with the First Nations people to try to help rid ourselves of this evil capacity of this empire that continues to destroy and kill and rape and debauch children. These are the things that make it unhealthy for a healthy nation to build its basic foundation on a matriarchal system that lives according to universal law called freedom. No one in the realm of history, past and present, ever talks about it.
Even the late Pastor Conaway, when you read his books of his endeavors, of how he was trying to use his people to bring about these changes, no one can get it because there is no way indigenous people can be just competitive in white society. That is inhuman, folks. And every time Native people elect somebody into that form of government on any said reservation, we are always electing a guy or a woman that does not live up to the basic principles of a language that they are part of. On the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, we have a half-breed by the name of Brian Brewer that will never, ever speak the Lakota language. I am insulted by his behavior. I'm insulted by his form of government because during the time when he had his inauguration, the late Grandma Esther Whiteface was laying in the gymnasium school in her casket, and none of them of the council would pay homage to go and show and pay respects to our fallen grandmother. You know, that is what really alarms me, because indigenous culture, we have always put our grandmothers and our people first, no matter what the circumstance is. When a half-breed or a white man dies, they put him in, if he was a senator, they'll place him in the Capitol Rotunda, okay? Then they'll take him to the Catholic Church or wherever, whatever type of indoctrination that he's from, they will do that, and they'll pay respect to that. And everybody gets a day off from their employment structure. But in Indian country, my people have lost that basic value system to show respect and homage to our fallen relatives. This is insane. This is inhuman. When acts of Congress always use that term to supersede treaties, okay, the general rule and regulations that come from Washington, D.C., they always undermine the efforts that are supposed to bring the economic opportunity for people to have self-determination in what you know as Indian country. Right or wrong, America, that's right. Because every one of you taxpayers are paying in for all these things that you are receiving from us on our birth mother. All the resources that you spend on a daily basis come from our grandmother. All the electricity, the propane, the food, the commonwealth that you American citizens live and honor by come from our grandmother. And this is how you treat indigenous people. Back home on my reservation, they had some money that was dispersed called the Cobell Settlement. The late Eloise Cobell challenged the federal government on trust obligations through trust responsibilities of having our land in trust at the bureaucracy and in the hands of the federal government. And it took almost 13 years to finally get some type of retribution from the federal government. It wasn't in the agreement of the full pledge amount. I think the original amount was like $157 billion, but it was dropped down to maybe less than maybe 500 or not even that far, $51 billion. And that's supposed to be dispersed amount, you know, dispersed amongst the Indian people that still have their lands within their own said responsibility. But one of the things that our people do not grasp and don't get adherence to is that this land that was placed into trust, it belongs to every enrolled member. Not that they're half-breeds, I mean enrolled full-blood members, okay? This money that is supposed to be governed for the sake of our livelihood and our well-being and of our identity, it is never, ever given that benefit of that factor. During the time when the federal government, through treaty obligations, I think it was Article 11, the common understanding of how the treaty was implementing, if they wanted us Indian people or indigenous people or Lakota people, so to speak, if They wanted the Lakota people to be farmers. They gave us all the equipment. They gave us plows. They gave us teams. They gave us wagons. They gave us all these necessities to be compatible in white society. But my people are a matriarchal people. We're nomadic. We don't know shit about white man's mentality. That's not our way.
Yes.
So in order for us to feed ourselves, what do you think we were doing back then? That's never talked about because the half-breeds and a lot of my people are afraid to talk about it. But goddammit, I'll talk about it because when my people were driven into starvation, all that farm equipment that belonged to them, these half-breeds went to the head agency's department and start getting our money to buy our material from us. And then they start buying the land. I want all that land returned back to us. And them half-breeds can go live in the cities with the white man and see how they're going to be treated over there. The white man will close the door on you people, just like what you do to everybody else of color, even your own white man. I am sick and tired of this type of bureaucracy that you have failed to live up to. You are killing mine at a high alarming rate. It frustrates me. This is no excuse. I'm not telling you something that's, you know, televised because, you know, white America wants to have the power to administer strong, you know, abilities of change. No. I'm telling you the truth because the pain of this oppressed behavior came from you. And you, American people, named yourself in a country that does not belong to you. You did not ask the First Nations people if you could be recognized as citizens. Let alone you want us to be recognized as citizens. All these wars that you created in different countries, it was people of color that fought and won them wars for you, white devils. This is the real untrue, your untruthful story and the unhidden truth about the reality what this American empire is doing. And by all means, if they start to make them attempts to kill me, then I hope it's worth it. Because not only have you done this to Crazy Horse, not only have you done this to numerous other people, you will make that attempt to do it to Chanupa. And believe me, I'm willing to die for what I believe in. I've been in your colonial prison camps. I've been assassinated. I had 11 assassination attempts in my life at the age of 53. And my latest one was from a liquor establishment in White Clay. The four liquor establishments in White Clay put out a $5,000 contract against me. And you think the Justice Department would lift a finger to go after them sons of bitches that are killing my people with their chemical dependency? Hell no. Why? Because they're all white. That's the problem with this country. Any colonial policy that was enforced upon people of color came from Great Britain. This is where Great Britain administered corporations to kill the rights of humanity. And that's the truth that nobody wants to talk about. And when you see that American flag outside, don't be putting your hand over your heart and pledging allegiance to that piece of shit and, you know, cloth material that Bessie Ross put together. Man, that woman had to be insane. That is blasphemy, what I'm telling you, because it's the truth. You people are still under occupation in a country that belongs to freedom. There is no freedom under that flag. What governs this country, known as Turtle Island, is called the Chanupa. Chanupa kilena wakampi mitakepi. That's what governs Turtle Island. And with that, I give you that understanding to my best of ability. Okay.
Well, thank you, brother. And we'll go to a quick song. When we come back, I want you to say hello to my 3-year-old daughter and her mother in honor to you. All right?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
Kayla, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, Alana Willow, how you doing?
Good.
All right, this is Daddy. Kanupa would like to speak to Kanupa, all right?
Hi.
Hello, young ones. How are you doing?
Good.
Great. I want you to keep your heart pure and listen to Mommy and Daddy. Because those are your teachers for your future to be free, okay?
All right.
And you must build your foundation with the love you have in your heart. Only your mommy and daddy can teach you about that love that all children need to continue to secure for themselves to make a healthy and most freedom-minded, you know, country that can build its foundation on believing that love is still alive. And I want you to have that in your heart. Believe it. Chupa struggles with that all the time. But when I hear children like yourself stressing this understanding that you want to listen to, I give you my love from my heart as an indigenous person to continue to love your parents. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I love you.
I love you.
You guys are beautiful, and have a great night. I'll contact you later. Alana Willow, Peace, Love, Revolution. Peace,
okay.
Love, Revolution. All right?
Bye.
I'll miss you. All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, my girl. You have a good one. Chinupa says he loves you, and my prayers are with you. Be strong.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
You bet. Hello.
Chinupa, I had to do that, and I sincerely apologize. It's a great honor to have you on. And, of course, what you're saying is vitally important. It reaches into the heart and soul, and individuals like myself, I'm Irish, of course. My enemy has always been the Anglo-Saxons. Nonetheless, I have the responsibility of sharing what I'm envisioning from you into that, the mind and heart and soul and spirit of my child. And I think that's what all of us should do. We should, you know, lay down firmer ground for the next generation.
You know, what you just said there gives the real
strength about how we should get back into believing that we all love everything of life. Mother Earth gave us that ability to embrace that. But to this godforsaken day in the year 2013, no one takes that very vital or seriously within their own hearts. And hearing your young daughter recognize the voice of Chanupa for the first time, it just makes my heart soar with the eagles again, because I have a granddaughter named Alana, Alana Rain.
Wow, hers is Alana Willow.
Wow.
Yeah.
I actually have two grandbabies that are named Alana. My oldest grandbaby, her name is Alana Michelle.
Whoa.
So this is quite of a, you know, a coincidence here.
Yes, it is. Because everything I do, Kanupa, everything I do is, seriously, I've already lived. I've lived five times, and now I live for my daughter. I don't live for anything else but her future. And that's why I look so deeply into the future, because she's ahead of me. She's ahead of me in my visions. You know what I mean? I don't walk myself. She follow me. She's ahead of me. And believe me, she may not have said much, but she's very smart and can sit in counsel with you. All right? She,
exactly.
What you said to her, she's talking about with her mother right now.
Wow.
Great honor. Great honor.
Thank you.
You know that. I also brought Naomi and Leo on. I want to ask Naomi, what is your vision for the future for America, Naomi?
Oh, wow, that's a big question.
Yeah.
You know, my vision for America is it's not my vision for America. I mean, let's be honest. The vision for America belongs to its indigenous peoples. I am indigenous to another continent. So my vision is that the people that come from that continent who are the responsible, there are our ancestors who are responsible for this genocide, how each of us perpetuates the colonization and the destruction that our ancestors started. My vision is that we, as people from other continents, wake up ourselves. That's the only way that my brother and I are able to work together in the ways that we are, the way that we have become family, is because I don't want anything from him. All I want is to find what belongs to me. And that creates an ability for us to love and be equals with each other. I think people often think, well, you know, Naomi, she must be learning Lakota culture, and she must be going to sweat lodges and sun dances and all that kind of thing. And, you know, nothing could be further from the truth. The way that I love my brother and the way that I love his people is by not picking up what doesn't belong to me.
Right on, Naomi, right on.
And so my vision for this continent, you know, honestly, my vision for this continent is that all of us white people pack up and go home.
You want to hear something funny, Naomi? Some people would be offended with what you say, but I actually propagate it on a lot of programs that I talk about, that this country and the vision that people envision it, what they're trying to hold on to with the Constitution, etc., is pretty much gone. The future is already predicted by a large group of people who control everything. And so people should look elsewhere to live.
This is how I believe. And, you know, I want to be able to face my brother and my other brother, Angry Little Bear, my other brother Leo, and the other indigenous peoples on this continent. I want to be able to face them with a strong and loving heart. And the only way that I can do that and have the integrity to do that is to find what belongs to me. And so again, to go back to your question, my vision for this continent is that the indigenous people's vision of this continent comes to reality. And the vision that I've heard is that they are free and left alone.
Beautiful. Well, it looks like I'm going to have to sit down and write a long letter to Canupa, asking for permission to be here. You know what I mean? At least for a short period of time, because I've never really felt. I actually was raised by the system, and so that's why I'm able to interrelate to what you're saying so easily, because it's part of my life. I never belonged. I never anything. I only had that nation that I belonged to, and that was far away. And so I always felt like a prisoner, always felt like a slave, and always fought, and of course, lived a life like I was Robin Hood here in America,
mm-hmm.
you know, until I was able to hold on to my bootstraps and start pushing back and fighting, you know, which is what I do today. So I think this is a great thing, Naomi. Leo, what's your vision for the future?
It is not.
Looks like Leo walked away. Canupa.
Yes.
Oh, I'm here.
You there, Leo?
I saw kids around me too as well, so I had to mute. Yeah. But I'm where I can speak now.
Future, brother. What is your vision for the future?
Canupa didn't leave. I'm still here.
Hold on a second. My vision of the future is that, you know, we gain our territory back, you know, as Lakota, but, you know, it really is, it falls upon our children. My vision of the future is a lot of youth, a lot of younger adults, you know, my nieces and nephews and of their generation, you know, to really understand and to see what we're doing, you know, of this generation. And me as, you know, secondary alpha male in my household, you know, my little cousins look up to me, and I was taken away by the system in foster care when I was 9. And, you know, I spent, 7 years of fear in living in, you know, just those conditions and stuff, and they tried to Christianize me and indoctrinate me and subjugate me, assimilate me. You know, I grew up experiencing those boarding school things, you know, being called a heathen and a savage. And I'm white-skinned, too. I'm what you call a yes guy, I guess, you know. But it's I'm glad, I'm thankful for my grandma, my elder, and my great-grandma, you know, who really strongly enforced our spirituality and our culture. You know, I always remember when I was a child, I don't know, it just hit me. I was like probably 6 or 7. You know, I envisioned just all the massacre, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not one in particular, you know, maybe wounded me, I don't know, but just a massacre. Just people just our ancestors, you know, being mutilated. And I remember crying, and my grandma didn't know what that was wrong with me. But, you know, after those 7 long years of foster care and, you know, running away and going back to my home, you know, I was isolated and I didn't have any family at all whatsoever.
Okay.
And I'm really glad that I was able to save myself, you know, and, you know, I have those 7 long years of being alone, you know, away from my family, no family contact. I remembered still who I was, you know, and just the sacredness of family, you know, those 7 long years, the life I live now among my relatives and, you know, among my people, you know, I'm glad I went through that, you know, and I'm thankful for everything in my life, you know, and it's, you know, children are very sacred. And my vision of the future is that, you know, there's a lot more of us to, quote unquote, take on the gun. You know, to pick up arms, you know, this day and age, that's what we're doing here on the front lines, you know, these international radio shows, you know, we're picking up arms. And my vision of the future is more and more younger generations seeing that and stepping away from their own cultural genocide.
Yeah, I respect that. That's honorable. Canupa, give us your vision.
My mission is this.
I want what a lot of indigenous people want in the Western Hemisphere. I want my people to be free and left alone without any type of yoke of slavery. Now, according to the statutes of United Nations law and any type of imperial law,
right,
we have a right to our own identity. We have a right to everything in that type of form of their pronunciation as a government. But under a matriarchal system, that's what I want restored for my people, so my elders, my grandmothers in particular, can continue to be the professors of life to teach us continuously that we are free. It's never, ever going to go anyplace other than this if our people don't get back into the basics of their own reality. And my final piece to all that, all we're telling America, we want you to leave us alone. We can get with the 22nd century where we can be just as compatible in your type of, you know, multicultural environment if you allow us to do so. Don't allow them half-breeds. Those are your brothers and sisters. They look just like you. I don't. I don't look like a white man. The half-breeds do. I'm a half-breed. I'm Oglala, Shahiala, and Mashika, meaning Cheyenne, and what the white man calls the people of the South, Mexicans. They're called Mashika people. Their indigenous language from down there was called Nahua. My great-grandfather from that way, named Tikalele, him and his two brothers come up here with that. I got a picture of him. I hang on to these because this is what my grandfather instilled in me, and so did my grandma Cecilia. My great-grandfather that carried this warrior society called Strongheart, Chantet Into Okola Kiche, he's buried at Wounded Knee. His name is No Ears. In Lakota, the name is called Nuhe Waniche. That's his name. If you look at the Wounded Knee Massacre site where Bigfoot and his people laid to perish, my great-grandfather, No Ears, his name is on there. Take a look at it, folks. That's where my blood comes from. That's why I'm a resistor. I was born a resistor, and I'm going to die a resistor. And once and for all, that's all I want, because white America doesn't have anything I want. You don't have anything I want. What I want him to do is leave us alone so we can show you how we can be free and we can prosper. And one day, you white folks can finally get it in your heart and maybe you will leave and go home. That's what I really want for my future, for my grandchildren.
Yeah. And with that, we're going to hit another tune. We're going to come back, and I'm going to ask you if you could speak to your nation. You don't have to speak our language for 10 minutes or 5 minutes. You give a message. Be right back with Kanupa.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. position wrong. It's a music you're from wrong. Don't exist in that to the position wrong. It's a thing was causing wrong. Then the combination says you're wrong. But this music is wrong. This is being a wrong position wrong. It's a love that this is a wrong. Now you have to do something wrong.
Contributions to there. And if you want to send something that will help benefit our elders on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, please send it to Chanupa Gluha Money, Post Office Box 512, Hill City, South Dakota. Hill City is spelled HILLCITY, South Dakota, 57745. In care of the Elders Project and all these things that are going on currently on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, our people have no propane. Our people have outrageous electricity bills. All these things that are going on at the oppressed behavior through how America's government, you know, practice and profess colonial policies. We are the only people not allowed to take care of ourselves the way it should be. We have the highest graft and corruption rate within our tribal form of government, and that form of government is illegal on the said reservations in the Western Hemisphere. And I'm talking about Wyoming, Montana, Nebraska, South Dakota, and North Dakota. Those five states continuously to breed hate and racial discrimination against the indigenous people of those five said areas within the Teton Nation. And I want people to really take a look at themselves. When American people give money to Native people, we turn around and pay you to clothe yourselves. We also turn around and pay you to pay your electricity bill. We also turn around and pay you to pay for your propane. And most of all, we turn around and pay for your rent. Everything that you give us, you want it back. But what have you done for indigenous people? You have used your Forced Penetration Act that was created by President Woodrow Wilson way back in the late 1800s, and William McIntyre to administer its input by turning our people into mixed bloods. You see, when you will never ever find that Forced Penetration Act in the congressional officials' archives. Why? Because they destroyed it. That's how the military people are still doing it today when they invade every country. They use alcohol as a dependency. They use drugs as a dependency. And most of all, they use their military to victimize women and children. This is inhuman, Americans. And what I'm going to say in conclusion with my diatribe here on tonight's radio show, and if I may, Hank, I would like you to have Naomi, Earl, Angry Little Bear, and Leo say something in closing, too, on behalf of my Lakota language.
Absolutely.
This is what I'm going to share. Mitakirepi, ampetukile, shantewashte, homatkhan. Hoyunkha, daku iwaglake, mela haskat hawichoye eguna, suta ewagnake. Namela haska kilina, wakte unlapsni, mitakirepi. Ampetu onzi timak yupte naha, ake unkaso tokte. Hey, it's Johnny Oaks, Tommy Kakipi. Taka Nashik Naha, Chopakilina Katotok Nashik. Nahetro Bhanta, Dagani, Ungilhap, Tishne Ake. Namakoche Kile, Echela, Wana, Kusha, Ankata Unginaji. Oroa Kile, Ehani, Ogi, Ke Echa, Nakuank, the Nahachichupi. Le oro akile echa wa kanki he ai kwake. Wena ye ye la ye he la ha wa ye yo we ha yo ho he lo hai ye ye yo he la we ha ya ha ai yo we ha he yo ho he lo hai ye ye yo he ai we ha ya ha we yo. We ha yo ho hey lo hi hey 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 ho yo. Chat it is a day, makakaka, let your energy pelo, hey yo hey yo, makasito mni ya, let your energy pelo, hey yo hey yo, chat it is a day. Maka energy pelo hai ye ye he hoy hai na hela yo hela hoyo we ha yo ho heyo hai ye yo he hoy we ha ya ha weyo we ha heyo ho heyo hai ye yo he hoy we ha ya ha weyo. We ha yo ho hey yo hey 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 hoy. Chatet is a key makakata lecha energy pelo hey yo hey yo makasito mni ya lecha energy pelo hey yo hey yo. Chatet is a key. Maka energy pelo ai 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 hey yo. Mitaki epi olon ki he chantet inza piki unkitha olon ki he e. Hoyon ka makan kata unchi ki lechus e unkitha pi kusha unhina chipi. Na wakan pi ki lena tko kata ke unkna ka unkichi pi. Na etan ha mila haska ki lena anapta na ha wanka bhanta ta komani oyate mitho ki lena lechus e. Dak shichi e chumpi ki hina wana khabi yoki na ha. Otkana unki okti ki echa kusha e on tuampi. Ho yun ka olon ki he ahi ki echa. Unchi ma kha ki lechus e wana oyate ki te khia unhi na si. Na chanopa ampeto unzi unpaki ap na wachon ki api ki he. Tiopa ki he yu rongte na etan ha. Mila haska ki lena. Daku hina I wong lako ki he I chukte. Chanopa ki le wakampi. Kya hechu se unchi makha nama wakantunga ki chima neto he unkopi.
cha etan ho ya tinglena zania iaglia umbi na woche ke hechen se eung na kapi hole sta tu taku i wagla ki ke he wi chake na ie chito ni e cha he no spema ki api wi choi pile he un cho wahina si na i wagla ki champetu on ji tokata ke un ki okte ki he Isaki bhina jib na on ke api emi ta ke pi un la kota na un chona la pi na ampetu on ji wash aki le un ki chuk te ki he wakam pi ki echa hechus e tokata ke I haka bon ki okte na oe ta wash aki ki le hina prink te ja hechus e left ati homa time What I said in my language was that for a majority of our people that want freedom, follow the lead of my grandmothers in this warrior society called Strongheart, and they will lead you into that 22nd century's doorway to our freedom. And with that, Hank, I thank you for allowing us to come on here. In the future, if you want us to come back on, feel free to call us and give us an update. And if you may, I would like for Naomi and Leo to say something in closing. And with that, I rest my case. I continue on with my struggle of freedom. With that, I thank you.
I'm honored, Kanupa. And we will be in touch more. And any way I can angle a campaign to extend your voice, I'll do that at all costs. And you have my word. Naomi.
Yes. You know,
you have several moments to speak.
So, you know, I just wanted to say it's a real pleasure to be on your radio show. And I know there's the listeners who are listening to my brother speak and sing in his language. They may have felt something missing. And maybe they felt sad that they didn't know what exactly my brother was saying or sharing with his words and his song. And so I just want to use that as motivation for those of you out there who are not native to this continent and want to find a new way of living in a better way with the indigenous people here. And I point you to the Lakota Solidarity Project. It's a project that help you do that, where these conversations that enable a better way of being with each other can actually occur. And again, it's the Lakota Solidarity Project, chuntepiza.wordpress.com. Look us up, Strongheart Lakota Solidarity Project on Facebook. And again, we really appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Again, we're honored, Naomi. It's a small world. All of us will see each other someday.
Yeah, I just want to say it's a wonderful, day today, a wonderful evening and opportunity to be speaking. To be sharing, bestowing, this wisdom and understanding with each other. It's a really good time for us to really, speak out to all the my indigenous people that we need to cast aside our, get all these new ways out of the way. We need to, become who we were once again. We need to become connected with each other. And our alliances, form our alliances with other indigenous nations, because it's really important that we identify who we are as human beings. That's what they want to do. That's what the system of control wants to do. It wants to take the wolf out of the dog. There is no dog in wolves, It wants to, create wolves and breed them into dogs, They want to kill the human, save the body, and create us into machines. And that's what they're doing. That's what the system is doing, and it's happening, exponentially with each generation and everything. And I just want to commemorate and acknowledge all of those out there above ground and underground, who are working and, working to really, put the real solid definition into resistance, whether they're active or on standby, everyone out there, I want to give a shout out, to all the people who are working above ground and underground for this, collective understanding that we need to, we need to create great change. My uncle is let me, given me that understanding that, you know, it's the new year, 2013, you know, 13 is a good number. It's a sacred number for us, you know, and it's awesome. It's amazing. I'm glad to be a part of this. You know, sometimes I don't like to, I was actually listening in, and I was out back smoking a cigarette, and I saw all these cars drive by, you know, and for a split second, I didn't even feel like I belonged in the century, you know.
Right.
And, you know, I don't, but, you know, I'm really glad to be who I am in this century, you know, existing here. And it's a great honor to, you know, be having these conversations and doing this radio show, you know. And
thank
I don't
you.
Think it's a coincidence it being on Martin Luther King Day, because I've been kind of on hiatus doing my own thing, you know. And, you know, today is the first day I've been on a radio show in a very long time. And it means a lot. I appreciate it.
You got it, brother. And, of course, I'm honored to speak with all of you. And in spirit, I'd like to say good night. You can download this as an archive, an MP3, et cetera, and we'll keep promoting. And Kanupa, I salute you, brother.
Okay, thank you, and you have a great evening. And stay warm and give my love to your child and your wife. Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Bye now.
Come on.